only on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Mark Levin, weekdays 3 to 6 p.m.
Coming up here on 635, John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. In about 15 minutes, I'm going to tell you about a huge loss that liberals suffered last night that you have not heard about yet, and you're probably not going to hear about on any mainstream station, meaning you're not going to hear about it on ABC, CBS, PBS, etc. You're not going to see much coverage in any newspaper. If it had won, it would have been front page banner headlines, but it lost. And I will tell you what that race was and where it happened and what the repercussions are in just a couple of minutes here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Before I get there, wanting to play you some of the reaction that has come in to the president, I guess, thinking that he could actually rearrange history. Here he was on Monday revising his promise from 2009 and 2010 and 2011 and 2012 about if you like your insurance plan, you can keep it.
What we said was you could keep it. If
nothing. He never said if. He said you can keep it, period. Okay? What's with this if?
What we said was you could keep it. If...
Yeah, sell it somewhere else. He never said if. He was unequivocal. They even had a fight within the White House about how unequivocal the president should be. Now, the fact that they were trying to make it more difficult for people to keep their policies by narrowing the grounds on which a policy could actually be grandfathered in, as the term goes, shows how cynical they were. While he was saying something that he knew to be untrue, he was actually working to make sure it couldn't be true. So here's some of the reaction. George Will on Fox News.
Someone has to tell the president it's not clever to be seen trying to be clever. In all the prevarications and equivocations of politics, one tries to be economical in the use of the word lie. That's why Churchill once said an opponent was guilty of terminological inexactitude. Well, it's hard to avoid the feeling that even if the president really didn't know on September 26th what was going to happen on the 1st of October, now he knows what he actually said then, and he's not telling the truth about what he said then. In the hearing today, Lamar Alexander held up an iPad that shows the website at the White House repeating the statement, if you like your health care, you can keep it.
Okay, so they're not on the same page. This White House is just not having good luck with websites, I guess. But it's not just conservative commentators like George Will. Liberal historian John Meacham pounced on President Obama's attempt to revise his promise when he was chatting with Joe Scarborough on MSNBC's Morning Joe show. Now, by the way, the audio drops out for about a second. And the words you don't hear, that you're not going to hear when the audio drops out, is Meacham referencing the if you like your plan, you can keep it. But here's their exchange between Scarborough and John Meacham.
It doesn't sound like the president's claim last night was true.
One of the things that's interesting about the first clip you played from last night is the president had a tone of frustration, a tone of, well, you can keep it, but of course there's always churn in these markets, as if we weren't quite bright enough to get that. And I think that that's part of the issue of this presidency, and I think we'll be talking about it for years to come, about his ability to A, communicate simply and now accurately, but B, to really understand that, you know, we're all not quite as slow, perhaps, as he thinks we are.
You know, I think that's really what's at the base here, is that I don't think the president...
You think that does ring true for President Obama.
Really?
I mean, he got reelected this time last year. He must think we're suckers.
Yeah, he must think we're fools. Well, here's the other part of this, though, Phil. There is a significant portion of his base, supporters, who will support him no matter what. That he simply can't lose them. They're absolutely with him 100%. If he says up, they're up. If he says down, they're down. If he says red, they're red. If he says blue, they're blue. I mean, whatever he says, they're good to go. They will defend him until he says or does something indefensible, and then they'll just play it down. Like the New York Times said, oh, the president merely misspoke. No, he didn't misspeak. He lied. He said something that he knew to be untrue, that his administration was trying to make untrue, while he was assuring you the opposite.
Yeah, and had how many...
Over and over again.
How many years after he found out in the summer of 2010 that his promise was nowhere close to being honest or true, had how many years to try and clarify the record and chose not to do so?
Well, it's like I said, if he had told the truth...
3 years.
If he had told the truth, Obamacare would never have been passed. So that's why he said, if you like your plan, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, keep him or her.
I'll counterpoint what you're saying. I think there's a chance it still could have passed if they would have simply said, hey, you know what? We're gonna have to have plans that charge you more, and you're going to get more coverage. I think there's a chance that all the people that kind of quote unquote supported it would have been able to digest that and go, okay, I'm getting more if I'm paying more. But
I'll tell you
the fact that they couldn't be honest is atrocious.
Right, but I'll tell you why that is not the case. Because A, it barely passed anyway. I mean, it was a strict party line vote. They had to use a process known as budget reconciliation to force it through. Secondly, they had to reassure people. I mean, this was oh so important. They had to reassure people, don't worry, if you're already happy with what you've got, this doesn't pertain to you. And if that was not the sense of things, then there's no way this would have passed. But even more to the point, Phil, once it was passed, where he continued to say, if you like your plan, you can, if he hadn't said that in 2012, if he hadn't said that a year ago, then he wouldn't have been reelected a year ago. So he needed to lie to get it passed, and he needed to lie to get reelected. And now that he's reelected, he says, well, what I said is you can keep your plan if. He said, no, you didn't say that. You plainly, flat out didn't say it over and over and over again. So stop pretending that if you simply say, well, this is what I said, that magically that becomes what you said.
Stop it.
You know, that might work with your mindless base. It's not going to work with voters who actually think, who actually notice a clear difference between what you said then and what you're saying now.
Yeah. Instead of doing this on Monday.
What we said was you could keep it. If.
Instead of that whole if thing.
If.
President Obama should have pointed out to what he said in 2009.
We will keep this promise. To the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor. Period.
Thanks.
If you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan. Period.
And what President Obama should have come out and said on Monday was, hey, I apologize. I was just reading everything that was on the teleprompter because that's kind of the only thing that I'm good at.
And
there was a period there, so I said, if you want to keep your health care plan, you can keep it, period. If you like your doctor, you can keep it, period. I was just reading my teleprompter.
That's
what I do.
You see,
that's what the president should have said on Monday instead of...
If they were only as clever as you.
If nonsense.
Yes. He was just literally reading the words and the grammar of the teleprompter. You can keep it, period. by the way, now we're hearing from Democratic members of Congress who say, you know, I didn't think he was going to be able to keep this promise. Here's a congressman out of Kentucky. I think it's Democrat John Yarmouth who said, yeah, we never thought he was going to be able to do this.
If you like your plan, you can keep your plan.
President Obama left no room for doubt.
You will be able to keep your doctor, period.
But even as he was making a key promise of his presidency,
period.
We knew that that was not possible.
Democratic Congressman John Yarmuth tells me as he was helping draft the Affordable Care Act in 2009, he kind of cringed when he first heard President Obama make the guarantee.
Now, the federal government can't tell an insurance company to sell a certain policy or not. So we knew there were going to be instances in which people could not keep the coverage they had.
And that's why this congressman bravely stood up and blew the whistle and said, Mr. President, you can't say that. Oh, wait, he didn't. He didn't.
Now, the federal government can't tell an insurance company to sell a certain policy or not. So we knew there were going to be instances in which people could not keep the coverage they had.
Oh, so why didn't you alert the public? Why didn't you tell your constituents? How come you weren't up front with the people who sent you to office there, Congressman Yarmuth? See, right now, the person who's taking the brunt of the criticism is Barack Obama. But keep in mind, almost every Democrat in the House and the Senate aped the president's words, repeated them, echoed them, because it became a party line. Don't worry. If you like your policy, you're going to be able to keep it. They're going to have to explain why they voted for Obamacare, why they said that, and why they continued to oppose a delay in the individual mandate or the retention of the mandate when they knew it was no longer true. It'll be very interesting. Next year is going to be very interesting because you know what? This isn't going away. These people whose policies are being canceled and the only policies left of them are exorbitantly more expensive in most cases. You think they're just going to forget this? No. No. When people end up paying more money out of their pocket because the government lied to them, the first thing they're going to do is go after the liars and fire them. Can you blame them? That's what you expect them to do. Big election last night throughout the state, throughout the country. We're going to get into some of those results in just un momento. But I promised you that I was going to tell you about this huge loss that liberals suffered that you're not going to hear about. It was of national significance. But if the race had gone the other way, it would be front page banner attention. You'd be hearing about it on all the morning news shows. The Today Show would be saying, this could be a harbinger of things to come. Good Morning America could say, well, we may see a new trend now, et cetera, et cetera. This happened in Colorado, okay? Frank Bruni, New York Times, last month, said that Colorado, quote, is on the precipice of something big if they passed this ballot measure. It was called Amendment 66, and it could change the face of education. In fact, Education Secretary Arnie Duncan said that if it passed in Colorado, it would make that state, quote, the educational model for every other state to follow, close quote. What was it? Well, it was a huge billion-dollar or almost billion-dollar tax increase that would be earmarked specifically for education spending. And they had done the test polling. They said, this tests well with independents. This tests well with the swing voters. They don't mind a tax increase if they know that it's going to go to education spending. So we'll just, you know, throw it in the general direction. You'll raise taxes, throw it in the direction of education, say this is all for the kids, and this is the new model for the rest of the country. And if Colorado voters had passed that, we'd be hearing about it on every morning news show. We'd be hearing about it on all the liberal cable shows. We'd be hearing about it on the evening news that You know, finally, if you're looking at ballot measures or you're looking at election results that could impact the rest of the country, Coloradans went to the polls and passed an Amendment 66 that changes how education is funded. Other states are expected to follow. One little problem. Amendment 66 didn't pass in Colorado yesterday. It wasn't even a close call. Amendment 66 to raise taxes $950 million and earmark the money for education spending went down 66% no. Only 34% yes. It got only 50% approval in two counties, went down in every other county. This was, as John Fund of National Review put it so well, the model crashed on takeoff. And, you know, it's very interesting. Colorado has been portrayed as the model of flipping a red state to blue. Because, you know, it's in the Southwest and they used to have Republican senators and governors and now it's flipped. They conveniently ignore that Colorado used to be a liberal state. With, you know, Dick Lamb was the Democratic governor. Gary Hart was liberal Democratic senator. Who was the other guy in the 70s who was a liberal senator that Bill Armstrong defeated? So Colorado was blue. It flipped to red, and then it was trending back toward blue again. But now it's trending back toward red. It's not just the 2-1 massive slapdown defeat of this measure, which, again, if it had passed, would be seen as the second coming of progressive governance in this country. But remember, they just tossed out two Democratic state senators, including the president of the state Senate. They recalled them from office, kicked them out because they rammed through gun restrictions and did it in a way that was truly offensive to the whole notion of public governance. And so right now, Coloradans seem to be heading back toward red status, if what they've done the previous couple elections are any indication. So anyway, I just wanted you to know that what is being portrayed, what you're not hearing about in the news that you should be hearing about, which is big, it's huge, an attempt to marry tax increases, if they could say it's for the kids, it's for education, just went down in flames 2-1. Believe me, political professionals, they know about this. They're exchanging emails about this. They're saying, oh, forget it. That's not going to hunt now. That dog ain't going to hunt now. We're not going to be able to make this work in other states. But if it had passed, I'm telling you, it would have gone to other states. And you know what one of them would have been? Washington. They would have brought that here if it had passed. Now it ain't going to be anywhere near here.
Free speech, spoken, here. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
All right, social media maven Brittany, name that group.
Oh, come on. I thought we were done with this.
Don't peek at the sheet, because I know you're about.
All I know is that it's called Lowrider. Can I phone a friend?
No, you can't phone a friend. However, Phil, if I'm not mistaken, I think one of the band members, maybe it's the drummer, lives in this area.
Is that Michael Shive or Sheave that went on to play with Santana? Play with Santana?
Are you trying to one-up me now on the Trivial Pursuit of bands from the 70s? Is this what your agenda is?
If we're talking about the same drummer, I was not aware that
Michael Shive,
Sheave, whatever his name
Phil
is.
Phil was going to be my phone a friend.
In this band.
Well, it's War.
But he played at Woodstock. Yeah, she played at Woodstock with Santana.
The group is War, and they were a big deal when I was in high school about 11 or 12 years ago.
They got some excellent songs.
You're saying you used to twerk to this song. Is that what you're saying?
War and Eric Burdon, Spill the Wine, excellent song.
War was...
Yeah, War and Eric Burdon got together to do
from the
Spill
Animals?
The Wine.
That song, Spill Wine, Dig That
Spill
Girl?
Spill the Wine, yeah. That's War.
Okay, I'm going to go one more step on Trivial Pursuit, even though we have a lot of substantive things to talk about. How did that song get its name?
That I don't know.
Ha! And you call yourself intellectual. It got its name because one of the band members accidentally spilled a bottle of wine on the console they were working.
The mixing board in the studio?
And ruined it. And they had to pay for it. And so this is, according to Casey Kasem.
Oh, okay. Resourcing this. I like it.
This is how they managed to pay the bill, is they had a hit song.
So you're saying the song Spill the Wine is
not
about
spill the wine.
Wine.
Spill Wine. Dig That Girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you can find it somewhere in the archives there, I'm sure.
I probably could pull it up in a moment or two.
So anyway, back we go. Even liberals are turning on President Obama again for this line from his Monday speech.
What we said was you could keep it.
He never said if. He said you could keep it, period. You could keep your plan, period. You could keep your doctor, period. So here's Jon Stewart on his show last night, Daily Show.
If you like your current plan, you will be able to keep it.
Did he just say if we like our current plan, we'll be able to keep it?
Let me repeat that. If you like your plan, you'll be able to keep it.
I thought that was what you said.
If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
Want to add any caveats to that? Because it sounds kind of definitive.
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. If you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan, period.
Period!
No caveat there.
How would that definitive statement sound post-implementation of said new health care act when it has become abundantly clear that you cannot always keep your plan or your doctor?
If you have or had one of these plans before the Affordable Care Act came into law, and you really liked that plan, what we said was you could keep it if it hasn't changed since the law was passed.
No. What you said was you can keep it, period. Now, what you said there was more like you can keep your health care plan, ellipses. Comma, because it may no longer meet the minimum requirements, or your insurance company may stop offering individual plans, or some other odd bureaucratic unintended offshoot. Period. Emoticon denoting a combination of embarrassment and arrogance. Did I do that?
Okay, he's even losing the Daily Show on this. Of course, we were pointing all this stuff out about a week ago before Mr. Stewart got there, but nevertheless, very good. Glad to see him on board.